This is
Fight Disciples.
We are gathered here today
for the Fight Disciples UFC and Boxing Talk.
Good evening. You're listening to Radio City Talk. This is the Fight Disciples Boxing Show, where we cater for the Merseyside boxing scene every Tuesday night between 6:30 and 7:30. So thank you very much for being in our company. It is me, Adam. Nick's here as well.
Hello.
It was his birthday at the weekend. He's managed to recover from that. We were going to obviously do the show yesterday, but no, he couldn't do it yesterday. So therefore, we had to give him an extra 24 hours to come into the show on a Tuesday evening to fully recover from a significant birthday. 40, my friend.
I know. It's old, isn't it? It's bad.
It's not old at all. It's not
I feel old.
Do you?
I feel old, yeah.
That's two kids, mate. It's nothing to do with age. Yeah. So how did you consume Carl Frampton's escapades in Las Vegas at the weekend?
Because Sunday,
Well, you had your party on Saturday
night.
That's
it.
So you didn't go all the way through.
I didn't, no. I did the Sunday morning thing. Yeah. My wife took the kids out, so I was able to do the full run through of the card.
And, okay.
Loved it, you know. I thought it was a great fight. I thought it was a real extension from the previous 12 rounds in New York, which was a great fight. We're 24 rounds in now, and I still want to. I want to see more.
Do you want to see the? Do you want to see part three next, or do you want to wait?
I want to see it next. I think it's got to happen next. I think Santa Cruz will push for it next because he's got the momentum. Frampton will want it to happen next because he'll want to obviously get that first loss on his record completely wiped slate clean again.
Mm-hmm.
I think tentatively, I think they've got an arrangement in Belfast somewhere for the fight to happen because they keep pushing it. And I think Santa Cruz will happily go to Belfast as well because he said he would. And I think he, you know, the momentum was with him now, but the pressure would be on Frampton back there. So, I think it's going to happen. It'll probably happen late summer, I would have thought.
You see, I'm the other way. The reason why I'm the other way is because I think Frampton will kick himself as to why he's lost that fight at the weekend. Because as we spoke on this show and on our podcast, tactically, I thought that Santa Cruz, as he normally does, would come forward quite a lot, as he always done all his life. I thought he would do it even more so in this fight to establish himself, get on top of Frampton. He didn't do it. He boxed on that back foot. He stayed on his back foot, picked him off for fun. Now, what I think will happen is that Carl will obviously look at the tactics, what lost him the fight, because he had to force it a little bit more, and therefore he will stand off, just like Santa Cruz did in this particular fight. And I think as a third, immediately, we might get a little bit of a stink out. We might get a little bit of a stink out compared to the previous 24 rounds that we've just witnessed between these two guys, which are two Fight of the Year contenders.
Yeah.
For me personally, I would love them maybe to just go and fight someone else of a top level, because there's some top boys in there. You've got Selby.
Selby and everything.
You've got Abner Morris. You've got all these other guys that are top, top level. I personally would say, right, just put that to bed for a minute. It's going to happen at some point. Just put it to bed. You go off down this route. Let's come back in 18 months and let's do it again then, when maybe you've experienced some other stuff. Because they've only been concentrating on each other for what now? 18 months?
That's all they've been doing? 6 months they'll have eat, slept and breathed and breathed one another. I get what you're saying. I think that's a great shout. And I think it probably works from an outside perspective. You know, can I wait? Yeah, I think the more they go away and win other fights and win other belts and then come back together, it just makes the third fight an even bigger fight.
Mm.
It was just so close again, wasn't it? You know, and that's the other question. And you're right. If they go straight into another 12 rounder, what's to say it won't be just as close again? So many of those rounds in the middle, just like New York, so many rounds were so close.
It's down to what you like, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a judge and you're watching that, what do you like? Do you like the counterattack? Do you like the more cleaner work? Or do you like the aggressor? Do you like someone that's coming on, getting on your chest and really forcing the fight?
Forcing the pace of the fight, yeah, exactly. So There was a lot of rounds there, certainly, you know, mid to early rounds that, you know, I give Santa Cruz the first two rounds, then I thought Frampton came right back into it, and then it swung one way and then the other again, and it got to the end of the ninth, I think it was, and I had it all square. So going into the last three rounds, it was all to play for, if you like, but at that point, it looked like Santa Cruz was starting to slow down.
He did.
Frampton was getting his momentum
going.
Got
a second win, though, didn't he?
He big time got a second win. Rounds 10, 11, 12. You'd be difficult, certainly 11 and 12. You'd be difficult to give them to Frampton. I thought Santa Cruz just finished the stronger. But it was such a smart performance from Santa Cruz because we never expected that. Frampton certainly didn't expect that. In the build-up, all he was saying was, Santa Cruz can't get any better. I can get better. I have got better. Santa Cruz can't get any better. Well, he may not have got better, but his game plan got a whole lot better. You know, he wasn't just trying to put the pressure on, overwhelm Frampton with a momentum of punches, which is what he tried to do in New York, and which is what has been so successful for him his entire career. Their game plan was clear. was to counterpunch. It was left Frampton come onto them, use the longer reach, use the longer jab, left Frampton walk into big shots, and he picked them off perfectly. And yet there was certain rounds there where Frampton had a bit of joy. He'd land every now and again, and he'd win rounds. You know, his work rate with winning rounds, but the momentum always really seemed to be with Santa Cruz because he had that great start. I felt like Frampton was chasing him. At no point, even though I had the score as a draw in the ninth, at no point did I really go, okay, well, Frampton's up now.
Yeah.
At no point did I have that. It was like, Santa Cruz is up, level. Santa Cruz is up, level. And then down a stretch, as I said, I thought Santa Cruz put his foot down.
Talk to me about the support, man. Because...
phenomenal.
I am of an accent. I don't want to say this in Liverpool because I'll probably get myself in trouble. But I'm of an accent that's a little bit further down the M62, okay? Where a certain fighter called Ricky Hatton comes from.
Yeah.
And I've obviously followed Ricky's career all the way through, been to some fantastic nights with Ricky Hatton, and the thing that always sticks out with me is the support.
Of course.
He commanded football stadium support.
Yep.
I haven't seen anything like that since. Okay, I've been to some Anthony Crawler fights, for example, where I've experienced some great atmospheres, but nothing to the ilk, as of yet, of Ricky Hatton.
Mm-hmm.
At the weekend, in Las Vegas, so not in Belfast, we're in Las Vegas, yeah? And it would have cost him a few quid to get out there.
Just a bit.
So you're out in Las Vegas, and the whole of Las Vegas has turned into Northern Ireland.
Yep.
Sensational support. Are we seeing the same level now from Carl Frampton? Has he gone into that superstar status when it comes to command and support and love from a fan base?
I think we have, yeah. I think, you know, certainly it looked like that on TV. Obviously, we weren't at the fight on Saturday night. I'd love to have been there to make that comparison. You know, I was in Vegas when Ricky Hatton fought Manny Pacquiao. I was at that event. And that was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Yet, to be honest, Pacquiao has an incredible support as well. So the atmosphere was unbelievable. It really was electric. And that reminded me of the weekend, you know, watching the crowd, listening to the crowd. Obviously, the Sky commentary reacting was saying it's unbelievable. But again, you've got, you know, one of the best Mexican fighters of this generation going in against the guy, Irish guy, who's got the whole Irish support behind him as well. So it did look amazing. And the reason he's got such a big following is, and Frampton proved this after the fight, the way he took the defeat, took it like a champion. We love that. We engage with that. We relate to that. You know, that's how, as every fight fan, you think, that's how you should react when you lose a fight. You take it like a champion. You take it on a chin and go, okay, it was his night tonight. It wasn't my night. Congratulations to him. Let's have fight number three. That's the dream way to handle yourself after you lose a fight, certainly a fight of that magnitude. So that's why we love Frampton.
Is there, regarding the love of Frampton, is there any coincidence and any synergy in the love of Ricky Hatton and love of Carl Frampton that they both go drinking with their fans?
Exactly.
Is there anything in that?
He got the alien again.
Yeah, he did. Because for those that were unaware, the first time around in New York, Carl Frampton, he genuinely organises. If you've gone out to support him in these foreign... I don't know if you do this at home because every man and his dog would turn up, right? But if you've gone out to America, you've paid your hard-earned money to go and support him, do his thing and earn his cash, then he organises an event the day after. I'm at this bar, turn up and I'll buy you a beer.
Yep.
And he did that in New York and it went off. The whole of Ireland turned up who was out there supporting him. He got the ale in for everybody. Yeah. And they had a right or two. Now, even after the defeat at the weekend, we saw him in the ring afterwards. Sensational, dignified response. Make you love him even more.
Completely.
Nobody likes a stroppy loser.
Nope.
Take note, David Hay. Nobody wants you blaming it on a broken toe or out like that. Don't do that.
Take it like a man.
Take it like a man. You weren't good enough on that particular night. Frampton, even as soon as it happens, he clapped his opponent. He went, yeah, okay, I can see that. Fair play. It's his night tonight. Job done, as you said.
Yeah.
But then you're feeling down. You just lost your world title. The day after, to then go to the next level, in my opinion.
Yeah.
To go and front up in front of fans. I haven't seen any other footage, but I've no doubt he'll have been personally apologising to some of them people.
Big time.
Because one of the first things he did on the microphone was to apologise to the fans, wasn't
it? Yeah.
He'll have apologised to them. He buys them all a beer. You're going to love this guy even more.
Exactly.
He's dignified and he's the man of the people, and that's the key thing. Good lesson to any fighter that's trying to make it.
Exactly. And that's why we love the Carl Frampton's and the Ricky Hatton to this world. That's why we love people like that, and that's why we struggle to get a big following behind your Amir Khans and your James Dales, guys that distance themselves from people.
Get yourself in there. Be the man of the people.
100%.
And I think we like the fact that they do have a drink because it gives us a little bit.
We can relate. Yeah,
exactly. We relate to it, and we think to ourselves, well, it's all right for Carl to have a pint. I'll have a pint. Yeah, exactly. I'll get stuck in there as well.
Yeah.
Now, on our podcast this week, we will be speaking in great depth of the undercard and the other fights that happened at the weekend, because we're fully aware that it wasn't just about Frampton and Leo Santa Cruz. Even though it was a great fight and we enjoyed it, we're just trying to concentrate on what the Merseyside boxing audience would be interested in. I know there's a lot of Irish fight fans here in Merseyside, so we're concentrating on that. But there is one fight that we've got to talk about on that undercard, which would affect, I suppose, Merseyside fighters like Derry Matthews. Is in that, he's gone up to super lightweight at the moment, but in that lightweight division. And that is obviously the return of Mikey Garcia, now a three-weight world champion. For those that haven't seen this, I thoroughly encourage you, if you've got a Sky subscription, download this fight, go and have a little bit of a nosy, because he takes on the WBC champion.
That's right.
Dejan Zlatichinin, the new pronunciation as I've been told. And he knocked him out in three rounds, and what a knockout. It's a knockout of the year already. You're not going to get a better one. You're not going to get a better knockout.
You've got to have a strong stomach to watch that knockout, because when you watch it in slow motion, he clips him with the uppercut, he hits him with the uppercut, clips him round the back of the ear with a little
Nick,
left
by
hook.
The way, is doing all the actions as
falls,
we speak in the studio.
Falls into the ropes, doesn't he? And then as he's pulling himself out the ropes and he doesn't even know what day it is, in slow-mo you're thinking, cover yourself up, man! Cover yourself up! But he doesn't, and he turns right round, gives
free
Mikey
shot.
Garcia a free right hook, which, believe me, he does not waste. And he puts the guy fast asleep. But yeah, you're right, it's one of the... Already a knockout of the year contender.
It is absolutely sensational. I thoroughly encourage you to go and have a little bit of a nosy at that. And also download our podcast, which will be available on fightdisciples.com as we talk about that and what that means for the lightweight division going forward. We also have an in-depth chat about Lee Selby, who sadly missed out in Las Vegas, because a lot of us would have... This show, I would have anticipated us, the majority of our chat, would have been now Selby Frampton. That's what we would have been talking about. But we're quite far away from it now with what's happened at the weekend. Obviously, Frampton getting beat and Selby's fight being called off on medical reasons because his opponent sadly couldn't get past. Which is a shame, because you're a huge fan of Lee Selby.
Exactly, yeah. He's the Welsh-Mexican, isn't he? Or whatever they call it, the Welsh
Mayweather. Yeah.
So, I'm gutted for Lee, because, to be honest, I think that was like a double whammy for him the weekend. Not only did he not get to fight in Las Vegas as co-main event, defender's world title belt in front of all the American press, and really stake a claim to fight the winner of Santa Cruz versus Frampton. Not only that, but Santa Cruz-Frampton is another close decision, but the loss goes the other way. So we're all talking about a trilogy fight there. So Selby's kind of now tumbled to the back of the queue, whereas if he'd have put in a big performance, if we'd have had a clear-cut winner, then maybe we'd be talking about Selby against the winner. But unfortunately for him, it's kind of like back to the drawing board now. I was devastated for him when I seen the news that the fight had been cancelled, because I know how hard the kid trains. He's so dedicated. And he's a real talent. And I think it's a real tough fight for Frampton or Santa Cruz to fight Lee Selby. But fortunately, Selby's time, he's going to have to wait again.
Let's not forget, he's the world champion. He's the IBF world champion, which we talk about on our podcast. So I have a little bit of a nosy on our website this week, fightdisciples.com. It's all there for you. However, this show, dedicated to the Merseyside boxing scene. So we've got to obviously get some Merseyside boxing love. After 7 o'clock tonight, we will obviously be focusing on the big boy.
Yeah.
The big man.
Biggin's back.
Big Pricey back in the ring this weekend. And we've also got to clear up some information that we might have passed on to you regarding the ITV box office, ITV4, where's the undercard being aired type of scenario, mainly because we had our wrist slapped by ITV when they're getting contact with us via Twitter. Oof, if they say jump, you say how high. That's how it works. So we'll be clearing that up for you just after 7 o'clock. Stick around and you'll be hearing from Pricey as he talks about wanting to get nasty. And hopefully we'll be speaking to his trainer as well, Dave Caldwell. I think it's always good to get Dave on. One, he trains Bellew as well, so he's got a vested interest in Liverpool and Merseyside boxing. Yep.
He's an adopted Scouser, Dave.
Oh, absolutely.
After the performance at Goodison Park when Bellew won the belt, I said to Dave afterwards, you're an adopted Scouser.
You're
now.
In the team you're now, in. Son. You're in the team. But obviously, this weekend it's all on Pricey. We're going to be speaking about that a little bit later on because Nick's got a theory. He's going to give you this theory after 7 o'clock that Pricey could be in world title action sooner rather than later.
Yep.
So stick around. That's all coming up very, very shortly. The main event for that particular card is, of course, Chris Eubank Jr. Taking on Ronald Quinlan for the IBO Super Middleweight Championship of the World. You've got to pay for it if you want to see it. The Eubanks are attempting to change the game, and we are going to be talking about attempting to change the game next on Radio City Talk. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Fight Disciples podcast.
You're listening to Radio City Talk. I'm Adam. He's Nick. This is the Fight Disciples show dedicated to Merseyside boxing every Tuesday night, 6.30 to 7.30, right here on Radio City Talk. We've just had a little bit of a look back at Frampton at the weekend. We've got to talk about Pricey. That's all coming up a little bit later on in the show because he's back in action this weekend on ITV Box Office. And he's back on ITV Box Office on this fella's undercard, Chris Eubank Jr., taking on Ranulph Quinlan for the IBO Super Middleweight Championship of the World. We've spoken in great length about this whole thing, ITV Box Office.
Yep. First it's ITV4, then it's just Box Office, then it's this, then it's that. Just to make it clear, the entire card is on Box Office. ITV are saying it was always the case. It wasn't. It wasn't. They were going to do part of the card on ITV4. That's a fact. Pricey told us as much because he was headlining the ITV portion of the card, the four portion of the card. But anyway, things have changed for whatever reason. You know, people may say lack of pay-per-view buys. People may be right. But whatever reason, ITV are now putting out the entire card as a pay-per-view package, which, to be honest, Adam, it makes sense. If you're going to do a pay-per-view, put the lot on. You know, this is not the UFC where you can kind of put a prelim card on a terrestrial channel and then expect people to just pay for the main event. Not when your main event is Chris Eubank against a fighter who's never boxed outside of Australia before for what is pretty much a bit of a paper title. You need to have the support of the entire card for it to work as a pay-per-view. So it makes sense that ITV have done this. And now let's just roll on the weekend and Big Pricey.
Now, they got back in the game with the Robbie Davis Jr.
Yep.
Show, which we spoke about on the show, and we loved it.
Big time.
Are they missing a trick making this pay-per-view?
Because
they've got so many good fighters, and it's a good card.
Yep.
It's not an excellent card.
This is not a pay-per-view fight on Sky. If this is a bill on Sky Sports, it's not pay-per-view.
There you go, then. So why not make it free-to-air ITV? Get some eyes on him, get some huge figures.
Yep.
I mean, we've just recently had an experience with the UFC. You just mentioned UFC there. And Bellator, the rival promotion over in the States for mixed martial arts. Bellator are on Spike, which was free-to-air. Charles Sonnen, Tito Ortiz, they put a card on there. And it finished up. I mean, you alluded to the fact that it was 1.5 million. It finished up at 2.2 million views.
Yeah, yeah.
That's huge, huge figures compared to 500,000 pay-per-views.
Yeah,
huge
completely.
Figures. So why not get some fresh eyes, some casual new fans to see Chris Eubank Jr., to see David Price, to see John Ryan, to see your young Yefai. Why don't you get all them guys on? Right, this is our new talent. This is who we're going with. Come and have a look at it, rather than asking people to pay attention for it.
Especially to go straight in with your second event.
Yeah.
You know, ITV, you've just come back to boxing. You know, you had a really good start with Robbie Davis Jr. That was such a good event the other week. You know, you got. I haven't seen the figures yet, but judging by social media,
it'd been decent.
People have been saying it was a good event. A lot of people tuned in. So you've whet people's appetite. Now you hit them with, you know, a card like this, with Eubank Jr. topping the bill, getting a belt wrapped around his waist, with Yafai, who's a real strong talent, Kid Galahad, who's a good little boxer as well, obviously Big Pricey. You put that out on pay-per-view for on normal to ITV4 for free this weekend. You get big numbers, but you're setting up a pay-per-view down the line that's actually worth a pay-per-view.
As in Pricey, maybe for a world title.
Exactly.
As we're going to talk about very shortly, because you've got a route for that.
Exactly. So they're just missing a trick. And at the end of the day, like everything in life, it comes down to money. You know, they're seeing the fact that Sky are now putting out regular pay-per-views and ITV want a slice of it. And that's fine.
Mm.
But don't try and kid boxing fans. This is not a pay-per-view event.
I don't know if this is all ITV. I think this maybe is influenced heavily by Eubank Senior and
maybe.
The way that he is going about managing his son's career, which we are big fans of. I like the way that he's going about it. And there's definitely a point in someone's career where I would advise them to do what he is doing.
Yeah.
They've seen the Mayweather model. They're attempting to replicate that. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
However, Mayweather didn't start off as a pay-per-view star.
No.
He didn't turn professional and then all of a sudden he's a pay-per-view star. He built up 20, 30, 40 wins and then all of a sudden it's like, right, okay, I'm a multi-weight world champion.
Yeah.
Legitimate.
I no longer need a promoter. I'll do it myself.
Absolutely.
I'll do my own TV deal.
Absolutely. People had already seen him fight. They'd already seen how good he was. Eyes had been on Floyd Mayweather on free-to-air television.
Mm-hmm.
And then what he did, you've seen me fight. I've given you the stuff for free now. You've seen how good I am.
Yeah.
Come and see me. If you want to see me again, do my thing. It's going to cost you a few quid.
Yeah.
Eubank Jr. hasn't done that yet.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't been tied to any real TV deal where we've seen lots of him.
No.
He's fought on pay-per-view.
Sporadically. He's fought sporadically.
Absolutely.
He's
we've not really
seen him. He's been here. He's been there. He hasn't got a following. obviously they're doing the TV chat shows and everything else, and they would probably profess otherwise that he's a bigger star than a lot of boxers. And he is a bit of a shooting star. You know, we talked about the fact that he lost to Billy Joe Saunders, but in a lot of ways he's overtaken Billy Joe Saunders,
absolutely,
who's still a world champion, because of the exposure that he's had and because of the way him and his dad conduct themselves. But by putting him on pay-per-view this weekend straight away, with ITV just coming back into the game in a title fight against someone that he's going to obliterate, let's be honest, the guy won't last six rounds with him. You know, it just feels like they're trying to cheat the boxing public a little bit. And that's what people are feeling resentful about.
Mm. Regarding Eubank Jr. Mm-hmm. going forward, because we fully anticipate that he is going to win this
yep.
particular title
yep.
at a different weight. He's never fought at super middleweight before. He's naturally a middleweight.
Yep.
What, in your mind, is going to be the next stages for him? Is he going to stay at this weight?
Yeah.
Is he using this as a bargaining chip for James DeGale? Or is he going to come back down to to middleweight and maybe still be able to use that as a bargaining chip for Triple G? Because every yeah. time I see his dad speak, Chris Eubank Sr., he talks about all these fighters. He talks about Triple G. He's been speaking about Andre Ward mm-hmm. at light heavy. He's been speaking about all these fighters, and he says, my son will smash them all. My son will beat them all. He will ruin them all. He will wreck them all. These are the words that he's using for these mm-hmm. particular guys. These guys are proven.
Yeah,
these
exactly.
guys are proven fighters that are
world champions.
Undisputed world champions.
Yeah.
Your boy's not done anything yet.
Yeah, exactly. But that's typical Eubank, you know. He'll want to build his son up. This is the way he conducted himself when he was fighting him, you know, doing his own career. So that kind of doesn't surprise me that we're going down this road and they're trying to self-promote and everything else. That doesn't surprise me at all. But you're right, Eubank Jr. has done nothing. He shouldn't even be speaking in the same breath as Triple G or Canelo or any of these guys, really, because he hasn't achieved anywhere near what they've achieved.
And as well as
personally,
that,
I think he's moving up here because they see an opportunity of a weak world champion in this in Quinlan. And they think that getting a world title belt, even though it's only IBO, getting that belt around the waist will help them sell pay-per-views. It will help them headline events. You know, they couldn't have done a pay-per-view without a belt. There's no yep. belts available at middleweight, right? Okay, well, let's go for this super middleweight belt instead.
Mm. Regarding what you've just said there about Triple G and mentioning his name and saying that we'd go through him and we'd beat him, you had the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You were offered the fight.
That's right.
For those that are unaware, I'm sure you're fully aware that Kell Brook took that fight.
Mm-hmm.
But it was originally offered to Chris Eubank Jr., who's yeah. a legitimate middleweight, not a welterweight who stepped up. Legitimate 160-pound fighter. He was offered it. Chris Eubank Jr. says that he's never seen a contract. So it's all gone through his dad, and his dad's turned that down for what reasons? Finances? I don't know what the reasons are.
Yep.
But if you want to make a statement and you're telling me that you can beat the what many are saying is the pound-for-pound best fighter on the planet, when he offers you the fight, take the fight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got to... nothing's straight in the Eubank world, though, is it? Never has been. And his dad was like that as well. Nothing's ever straightforward. Everything's just weird and convoluted and just doesn't seem to make any sense.
But they confuse it.
Yeah, of course.
Through their own... They do it themselves.
They do it themselves, yeah, yeah. But I think, do they want to do it then?
Boxing's messed up as it is.
Does he really
want to
fight Triple G? Does he want to... He had the opportunity to fight Golovkin. Obviously, whether it's his decision or his dad's decision, they decided that was not the right fight at this time. Instead, they think fighting Quinlan on ITV box office is the right fight at this time.
Now, how this happened for me, the ITV thing and all the self-promotion at this stage of his career, it has to work. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because the other big players in boxing, Matchroom, Eddie Hearn,
mm-hmm.
Frank Warren's now got his deal with BT, Box yeah. Nation. You've got other guys in there, obviously, that look after big names like Mick Hennessy and Tyson and the Furies and all those types of things.
Yeah.
But the rhetoric that I hear from these people are that they're no longer willing to work with Eubank Sr. because he is so unreasonable, as you just mentioned there.
Yeah.
And he throws spanners into the works that don't need to necessarily be in there. So if this does not work,
mm-hmm.
if ITV pay-per-view does not work and his son doesn't get to the stage that we all anticipate him to get to, because he's a talented kid. He's yeah. very, very good.
Oh, he's a brilliant boxer.
If they don't get there, then where does it leave him? Because you've got to go back cap in hand to Eddie Hearn, haven't you? And you've got to go back cap in hand to Frank Warren and say, listen, can you manage it?
Yeah.
Because I messed it up.
Exactly, yeah. Or they move him to America, which I think is on the cards anyway, and they go over there and they sign with Top Rank, or they sign with Mayweather Promotions or whatever, you know, they do a cahoots deal. Like David Hayes just done a cahoots deal, hasn't he, with Schaefer? Mm. So he's kind of the co-promoter.
To be fair, he's mates with David Hayes. He might actually end up with that.
Yeah, exactly.
He might be in there.
So that might be the route they end up going down. But it's just strange that this is the opportunity that ITV thought was the perfect one to launch a pay-per-view. It shows how naive they are, potentially, about boxing and what's going on in boxing right now.
Yeah.
You know, as I say, if this card is on Sky, this is not a Sky box office card. Sky, there's no way Adam at Sky or anyone would have gone, oh yeah, Eubank Jr. against Quinlan and this undercard, and that's box office, that's pay-per-view. This is not pay-per-view.
I mean, look at the abuse that they got for pay-per-view for Anthony Joshua, exactly. World champion, against Eric Molina.
Yeah, exactly.
They got tons of abuse for that.
Yeah.
It's lucky that the undercard stacked up.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. So this card, don't get me wrong, I like the card. Obviously, big prices.
It's a lovely card.
Big,
it's a Saturday night card. Mate, I sit there all day and watch this.
Exactly. But is it worth £10? I don't know. I don't know whether there's going to be a big uptake for it, even though they've had to move the whole thing to pay-per-view now as well.
Everybody in Liverpool now, and I'm not stereotyping because I'm doing this over in my way as well. I'm looking for an illegal stream. I'm going to be honest with you. When I say illegal, I say, but partially not right. All right, I'm getting it in from Sweden.
Listen, I'll pay £10 because I want to see Pricey win as eliminator.
Yeah.
Because that world title belt is round the corner.
Now you are calling this an eliminator. It's technically an unofficial eliminator, but it is for a belt.
It's WBO European belt. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you have got a route for Pricey after this fight. If all goes well at the weekend, if all goes well with this...
It's a big fight. It's a 50-50 fight, Adam. Christian Hammond is no joke.
But you're telling me...
Good run, but this is an eliminator.
By middle of the year, you're telling me that there's an opportunity in your head to be able to get David Price...
A world title fight.
A world title fight.
Yep.
And the chances are that it will happen on these shores... And then maybe 50% of those chances being in Liverpool.
Exactly. Well, listen, if the stars align, first of all, Pricey's got to beat Hammer on Saturday.
Right, don't tell us yet. We've got to go to a break.
All right.
This is how we do radio. This is how we do it, right? What I do, I've told everybody what you're going to tell us, and then they say, I can't go anywhere yet. I know that your tea's on, but don't go anywhere yet, right? Because Nick's going to give us this route of how Pricey's going to be the main man.
Yeah.
We're also going to hear from Pricey as well. We spoke to him recently when this fight was originally made, talking about trying to get nasty in the gym, not just necessarily in the gym, but in the ring as well. You've talked about him being a lovely fella. He's a lovely fella. He's a gentleman, but he wanted to get nasty, and hopefully we're going to get to see that this weekend. So don't go anywhere. If your tea's in the oven, just knock it off for a second, right? Yeah. Because this is going
to
be serious.
Well, if you're in the car on your way to the ground for the match, don't leave the car, we've got Pricey coming off.
Forget it. Liverpool are going to beat Chelsea tonight.
Yeah, well, it's my 40th birthday, so I've already done 4-0 Liverpool.
Mate, that's what Liverpool do, right?
Bet.
You have a crack against Swansea. You've had a mess of it.
We've had a nightmare January.
You've had a mess
nightmare.
Of it. Mess
out both it. Cups.
It's just like them, right? To mess it all up and then go and smash Chelsea
4-0.
To pieces.
They're going
to
beat them 4-0 on my 40th, I'm telling you. Anyway, stay in your car.
Just
Price is coming up.
Wait a minute, I'm logging onto my Bet365 account. That's what I'm doing. Stick around. You're listening to Radio City Talk. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to the Fight Disciples podcast.
You're listening to Radio City Talk. I'm Adam. This is Nick. We are the Fight Disciples, and this is what we do on a Tuesday night here on Radio City Talk between 6:30 and 7:30. Talk about the Merseyside boxing scene. I know that you're pressed for time. I know that you want to get to Liverpool, Chelsea. I know that, okay. But we're going to talk Pricey. Yeah, a proper red. He's a man that's probably going to win a world title this year, according to my boy Nicky. He's going to tell you all about it now, mate. And when he does it, he will be obviously walking out to the Ring of Fire, no doubt, my friend. Yeah?
I hope so, mate, yeah. I hope so. Listen, the pressure's on Pricey this weekend. Listen, no ifs, no buts. He's got to win Saturday night first. Before we start fantasising and dreaming about what's coming up next, Christian Hammond is a legit opponent. This is a guy who's ranked above Pricey, a guy that's beat the guy. His last win was against the guy who beat Pricey. Okay, the guy failed a drug test.
Erkan Tepe, yeah.
Erkan Tepe, but still, Hammer beat him in his last fight, you know, to win this WBO European belt. He's their form fighter, if you like, beating better opposition. But it's an opportunity knocks for Pricey. You know, we need to see Pricey nastier, tougher, more aggressive than we've ever seen before. He's promised us he's going to do that because he needs to do a number on Hammer because... If he can get a win this weekend, Pricey, if he can get WBO European belt around his waist, he's in pole position. And I'll tell you why. Joseph Parker, the WBO world champion presently,
yep,
is in purse bid talks with Huey Fury.
Starts tomorrow morning.
Yeah, Tyson Fury's young cousin.
Yeah.
He's the number one contender right now. But, cat amongst the pigeons, Deontay Wilder, the WBC heavyweight champion, has no longer got an opponent. His opponent failed the drug test. There's a theme with these heavyweights, isn't there?
Yeah.
He's failed the drug test, so Deontay Wilder's looking for an opponent right now. Huey Fury has spoken previously to us on our Fight Disciples show. If I had my choice, I would rather fight Deontay Wilder than fight Joseph Parker. So, listen, the stars could align for Biggin here. This could happen. Because if Biggin can win this European WBO belt, he then becomes a legit contender for the WBO title, yep, world title full. If Huey Fury pulls out of negotiations for the purse bid because he fancies Deontay Wilder's WBC belt, that leaves Parker wide open. That leaves Pricey in a potential pole position. Listen, it could happen. The world title dream for David Price could happen this year.
And as well as that, we know that Joseph Parker is obviously a geezer from down under.
Yep.
However,
he wants the fight here.
He's looking to line up a fight with Anthony Joshua. That's where the big money is,
yep,
in the heavyweight division. But he said that he wants to come show the English, British fight fans his thing in the UK.
Yep.
What a perfect fight.
Exactly. Well, that's why the Huey Fury thing is working for him right now, you see, because he wants to fight Huey Fury over here. He wants to show the British public that he's a legit world champion. There's a number on Fury. It unlocks potentially Tyson Fury or Anthony Joshua or the winner of Joshua Klitschko, whatever. He knows there's no good being a world heavyweight champion living in New Zealand, Australia. I know he's based in Las Vegas, but, you know, fighting over there, he's just won the world title belt over there in Australasia. So it's no good doing it there. That's not where the money is. Hmm. The money's here. The money's in Europe. The money's in Britain, certainly for the heavyweight division.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So he needs to come here. He needs a British opponent. Let's just hope that Huey Fury decides to chase the Deontay Wilder route, because I'm telling you, that leaves the door wide open. Again, Pricey's got to win Saturday night first. That is the top and bottom of everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's all he's thinking about. That's all Dave Caldwell be thinking about. They won't want to hear about my little perfect Peyton pipe dream.
Well, I'm going to tell him.
But, well, I know, yeah, we'll have to tell him. But all they'll be concentrating on is Hammer, because it's a legit fight. This is a real 50-50 fight.
Let's hear from Pricey, because a couple of weeks ago, he came on our show when this fight was announced. He seemed as relaxed as ever. We always have a crack with him. I mean, we've got previous interviews that you can go and have a little bit of a listen on our website if you wish, what he's talking about joining the WWE as Barry Grant.
Barry Grant, yeah. Coming out to the Brookside theme.
Fightdisciples.com if you want to go and have a little bit of a nosy at that. However, we did catch up with Pricey. He's always relaxed, as I said, but he did talk about getting nastier in that ring.
The thing is now as well, there's no pressure on me. Every man and his dog by the odd few have wrote me off, and it's only a few people who are like, no, I still think Pricey can do it, but there's still the curiosity element which is going to make people watch me, because I have been a bit of an enigma. So there's always that question mark, what if Pricey does turn up and actually perform to his the best of his ability, which if I do, you know, not many, if any, can live with me. So, but that's going to happen. That's coming because, you know, I feel like I've got a real flow to me where, you know, and took the pressure off me completely. And the thing that was standing in my way was probably fear of failure. And it was holding me back, and that's gone now because I've already failed. And like I've said, we've gone through it on me before, and I'm really enjoying everything about it at the minute. So it's gonna transfer into the ring come fight night, and I think people will see the best that they've ever seen of me because they see a real flow to me with.
I know you've been pals with him for a long time, but what's it like being in the gym with Bellew? Because he seems to be rubbing off on you a little bit, mate. You know what I mean? I kind of like it. I kind of like you're a nasty. You're getting a nasty bugger in the ring, but possibly, you're giving it a bit outside as well. I like that.
Yeah, got to get a bit nasty. See, the thing is, look, over the years, I've always had the gentleman's approach and being a bit old-fashioned with boxing. And I am outside the ring, you know, away from boxing, but at the end of the day, I don't need to be anyone's mate who's a fellow boxer, you know. Yep. When we're retired, we might see each other and say hello and everything else, but the reality is I'm not going to be mates with any other heavyweight boxers, barring Tony Bellew, let's say, for instance, who we're mates with anyway. But other than that, I don't need to be nice to these people
exactly.
if we're going to be literally can honestly food out of each other.
I was going to say, they're taking bread off your table, aren't
they? That's it. So I've got to get in there and get a bit nasty about the job, which is the intention. I mean, the prospect of fighting David Price, the gentleman, the nice fella and everything else, is probably a bit less daunting than a more menacing 6'9", 20 stone giant in the opposite side of the corner.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, so it's got to be taken into account. And like I say, after the fight, then you can shake hands and everything else. But, you know, these people, they're not part of my life, and I just need to do what's best for me and my family. And if that means, then do it, you know.
Do you believe him?
I do believe him. Because
you've known him a long time.
I have. I've known him since he was in the amateurs, you know, when he first broke through, when he won his first ABA title. I've known him an awful long time. And this is the problem with Pricey, and he accepts that, is that he hasn't been aggressive. He hasn't been a big, audible heavyweight, which is the way he describes himself sometimes. Oh, I'm just a big, audible heavyweight. I wish he was like that in the ring. He's too much of a gentleman. He pays people too many respects. You know, his personality outside the ring, as anyone in Liverpool will tell you, he's an absolute diamond. He will take photographs, he will sign autographs. And he gets a lot of stick, Pricey, as well, believe it or not. I know he doesn't go out in town with his wife anymore, his partner anymore, because people actually, when they're drunk, start on Pricey. Like, he gets a lot of weird attention.
Who would start on someone 6'9" and can knock out for fun?
And could literally punch a hole through a bus. And you get these little chirpy idiots having a go at him, like, oh, you've been knocked out, have you? And you think, come on, mate, you're 5.5 foot. He would literally stamp you out. But it's weird because he's such a nice guy. No one would ever say that to Bellew. Because Bellew, there's a chance he'd just give you the slap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But Pricey hasn't got that personality. It's not in him. He's just a lovely, genuine guy. But that's part of the reason why I want it to happen for him so much. But the only way it's going to happen is if he takes on that little bit more of a Bellew-type persona. Bellew's the nicest guy in the world, but put him in a boxing ring and he will tear your head off.
Mm.
He will do anything he can to destroy you as quickly as possible.
Well, he gets into that mentality straight away. We've had Tony on the show. He gets into the mentality where he believes that you are trying to steal from him.
Exactly.
That's what it is. He's explained it as that. He's got a young family, and he explains...
Taking bread off the table.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's why Bellew's in a
Pricey,
fight.
But Pricey, lifestyle-wise, is in exactly the same situation
completely.
As Bellew.
Exactly.
So it's about switching that brain towards thinking.
He's got his kids and he's got to provide for them, and he's not been as active as he'd like to be. He's suffered from some absolutely shocking politics in the sport. You know, Pricey's suffered more than most, yet he's got to provide for his family. And the only way he provides for them is by winning fights and winning titles. And the only way he's going to get them is, one, being more vocal. Two, getting in the ring and actually showing people no mercy. Just get in there and try and punch a hole through the other guy's face. Because he's so big, Pricey, that if he lands, like here against Audley Harrison, when he fought Audley, he said afterwards, he was like, I was a bit... The good thing was he was scared that Audley by then, in boxing eyes, was a joke.
Mm.
For Audley Harrison, oh yeah, the Olympic champion, that's a waste of space. But Pricey said, no, if he gives the chance, if Audley gets the chance to box and move and gets that southpaw style going, he could be a nightmare. He said, so I was terrified. I just wanted to get in there and get him out of there as soon as possible because it was a risky fight. Well, that's what Pricey's mentality should be for every fight.
Yeah.
Don't stand off. You know, in the past, I think he's fallen into a trap of being so big, and people have convinced him you can be like Klitschko, box like Klitschko. Keep people at the end of your jab, all that kind of stuff. Nice and patient, nice and slow. Spoil fights. That's what Klitschko did for years, the two of them. And that's what Pricey kind of went down that route. But the problem is, Pricey hasn't got the... And he told us, he hasn't got the best chin in the sport. The longer you're in there, the more chance someone's going to catch you on the chin. So flip that round. Go in there and go, I'm 6'9". I'm a monster. I'm going to destroy you as quickly as possible. And I think that's the Pricey we're going to get on Saturday night. I think we're going to see a big... horrible heavyweight, and I think if you can do a number on this kid at the weekend, and it's a big ask because the guy's in a real good form, the guy will start as favourite. Pricey is not the favourite for this fight, but if he can do a number on him, I'm telling you, that world title fight's within touching distance.
The reason for that change in mentality, because you've just alluded to there about Klitschko's, he has obviously had the Sauerland promoters for a long period of time, which are obviously German based. So you're right in what you're saying. I've no doubt that that has been around him, that comparison to Klitschko with the size of him and all that type of stuff. But when it comes to trainers and guys that he's been with in the past, I mean, again, I don't want to put words in the mouth because I don't know the other guys personally. But when it comes to Dave Caldwell, Dave Caldwell is huge on the psychology side of the sport, getting yourself in the right frame of mind, the belief aspect of becoming a boxer when you step through the ropes and do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
He seems the absolute perfect fit for Pricey. Because with all due respect to Pricey, the thing that has let him down is between his ears. It's nothing to do with his talent.
Yeah,
it's between his ears that that has seen him get to, obviously drug cheats as well, but has seen him to get to this stage now, which we none of us anticipated. We anticipated him being world champion by now.
Yeah.
But it seems that Dave Caldwell sorted out whatever is, has been going on in Pricey's head. He seems to have sorted out. He seems the perfect match.
Yeah, it does. And I think, and again, training alongside Bellew every day will help, because that's how Bellew fights. You know, that's his mentality. It's like fight or flight kind of thing. You know, there's no in between. There's no Mr. Nice Guy. When he's on, he's on. I think Pricey can learn so much for that. And Dave, as you're right, Dave is a real psychologist of the game. You know, he likes to get inside people's heads. And it may look like a weird mix from the outside, because Dave's about 5.5 foot and Pricey's obviously 6'9". So holding the pads must be pretty difficult for Dave Caldwell with Pricey, especially because he hits so hard as well. But we've spoken to Dave on the show and he's like, listen, once I get in his head, once I switch him on, you'll see a completely different David Price. And they've had two fights together now, obviously on the Goodison bill, on the Bellew undercard. He stopped the guy. He's had another stoppage in Germany since then as well. So it looks like
Germany fight, he looks a lot more relaxed. I mean, the first time out, obviously, at Goodison Park, that's a big one, you know what I mean?
Yeah, especially when you come home after stumbling and stuff like that and losing fights and having to explain yourself on TV interviews and with the media, and then you come home and the pressure's on you to perform back at home again. But no, he's had two fights back. He's had two stoppage wins. And on all, the problem is because Price is such a high level heavyweight, take away the fact that he's got three defeats, because three defeats are against two drug cheats. So I ignore them now. Let's look past them. Price is at such a high level that he can't just fight people on fringe undercards forever. He's a heavyweight. He's got to step up at some point. This weekend he's got to step up. Hammer's a legit opponent.
Mm.
This is the first real test for David Price and Dave Caldwell. This is the opportunity where Caldwell has got to prove that he's made a big difference, that Pricey is aggressive, he is ruthless, which is something in the past. He's hit people, had them in trouble, and he's stayed patient and he's stayed behind that jab. And he's not, some would say, take a chance, span a try and finish the fight, but there's a big difference between taking a chance, a silly chance, but taking an opportunity when the opportunity's there. And I think in the past he's hesitated when there's been an opportunity, and that's ultimately held him back. But he's so big. He's such a good boxer. He's got such a big dig that he's just got to go for it.
He said dig, just in case Ofcom are listening, all right? Just in case it was a G, not a C.
It was a dig.
But you are right in what you're saying about that, the gentleman approach within the ring, because if you compare him, and we have to compare him to current champions like Anthony Joshua, because that's where he's hopefully going to be going and fighting these guys at some point. When you compare him to a Joshua, when he smells blood, doesn't let you off that hook.
Yep.
If he stings you, and obviously he can hit as well, really, really hard. He's all over you. And he doesn't like, it's very rare that you see Anthony Joshua sting someone and then that person surviving the round unless it's right at the end of the round. So you know what I mean? He's on it straight away. And like you've said, even when Pricey was flying, I've seen him sting kids and like you said, that patience thing comes in and he waits and then it
Why
goes
risk
maybe,
it? It's like a Klitschko mentality. Klitschko's doing it for years, beating people up for 12 rounds. It was like, you know, hit and knock, be hit kind of thing. Why take the chance of finishing someone?
When you can hit like that.
When you can stay there. But when you're as big as Pricey and you hit like he does, you may as well just step in, just do it. Because the longer you stay in there, the more chance you're taking of getting caught by a haymaker. And I think, obviously,
that's where we're trying to go.
That's right. the difference we've got is that AJ's and Anthony Joshua's an undefeated fighter. And you've got that undefeated confidence.
Absolutely,
that if you get someone hit, you can kind of blaze in there and you might catch one. You might walk into one going in, but your confidence will carry you through that punch because you're so besotted on getting the finish. Whereas because Pricey's had a couple of stumbles.
Bad ones as well.
Exactly. He's been caught. He's been stopped. So in his mind, when you step in, it's like, why take the chance? Because if I get I get caught, oh, suddenly your brain say, oh, you've been caught again. Uh-oh, red lights go off, and that's the mentality. Anthony Joshua's never experienced that. So he doesn't.
Not in the professional ring.
Well,
Prices.
We're led to believe Prices sparked about, yeah. So that's why we want to see that fight, because hopefully all them images will rush back into Anthony Joshua's mind when he fights Pricey. But listen, it's a big moment this weekend. It's a big moment for David Price. A big moment for Merseyside boxing. You know, we've never had a heavyweight world champion. Never had a heavyweight.
And we desperately want it to be Pricey.
Exactly, because he's such a nice guy. There's no one in this city would begrudge Pricey winning a world title. A lot of people in this city would have been wrong, because a lot of people don't believe he's got the ability. Certainly don't believe he's got the chin. And he kind of admits that. But it doesn't matter. If you get your opportunity and you take your opportunity, Pricey can stop anybody. Anybody in the world. It could all start on Saturday night. We could be about to have the most incredible journey with David Price starting Saturday night in 2017.
Less than that. Because you reckon this could happen by summer.
Well, listen.
Jozy Parker needs a fight.
Exactly. And who else are we talking about getting a world title fight in Liverpool, potentially in the summer, out of football season time?
Oh, Callum, who we spoke about last week.
So there you go. Callum Smith fights for the world title. You've got David Price fighting for the heavyweight title on the same card.
Oh, my days.
You know, this could top Goodison last year with Tony Bellew.
Exactly.
All the lads now who are itching to get to the match.
Look at them, they're all in the traffic now on the way to Anfield.
Exactly. He could be back in the summer for a double world title fight, fingers crossed.
We have just increased the atmosphere tonight at Liverpool Chelsea,
just
mate.
Stepped it up,
it's gone through the roof. This is very similar to Las Vegas at the weekend with Frampton. All these football fans on the way to the game tonight, listening to a bit of boxing talk right at this moment in time, are absolutely pumped up for the match tonight. You've legitimately, by the way, just before we clear off, we'll talk footy. You've legitimately put a bet on tonight, and you're 4-0 for your 40th birthday. 40th birthday today.
It's my 40th today. I'm going to race from the studio now and get up to Anfield myself. Hopefully, I haven't missed Mane's, you know, opening goal. On his big return.
Absolutely.
But so, yeah, I'll probably miss the first 10 minutes, but I'm going to get there. I've done my bet. I've done 4-0. So,
it's typical Liverpool.
The drinks will be on me.
Mate, it's typical
honestly,
Liverpool.
The drinks will be on me at the back of the cop if we win 4-0 tonight, let me tell you.
There you go. Line up. It's a rare treat. Pete's at the bar.
Very rare.
Get yourself in there. Thank you so much for listening to us. This will be available, if you missed any part of the show, on our website, fightdisciples.com. Get yourself in, have a little bit of a nosy around. We'll have on next week's show all the fallout to ITV's pay-per-view. Hopefully, Pricey will join us, because he'll talk about being a mean, horrible, nasty so-and-so.
Yeah.
But hopefully, we're going to witness at the weekend. Have a wonderful evening. Up the Reds.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.